Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I'm joined, as always, by my delightful co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here, too, and to continue our conversation, such a wonderful conversation we've had already with our first show of the month on inclusive social action. We are wanting here at Spirit Fire Radio to create a new paradigm, right, in which we can find ways to end, limit, turn around divisiveness, find ways really to become aware of, say no to harm we see in our everyday lives, out in the world in general. Dorothy, a few words. We're going to talk this month or this entire month about inclusive social action, but particularly today on ways in which we can prepare ourselves for inclusive social action, ways we can ready ourselves so that we are effective in that action. Yeah?
Yep. And I've got a couple of quotes, but first, I think if we have anybody with us this week that wasn't with us last week, I'd like to just repeat the definition, Steve, so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So inclusive, when we say inclusive social action, what we mean is intentional action to stop specific violence in a manner that does not further divisiveness. So it's a compassionate no, absolutely not, rather than just slipping away or getting angry or critical, that kind of thing.
So, or being indifferent, right? Or doing nothing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So here's a couple of quotes for us to think about this week. The first is from Eli Wiesel. We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. And so that gets to what you were just talking about, Steve, in terms of the kind of apathy that we want to avoid. And then from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he writes, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. So the not being willing to speak up. And then a third one, we talked last week about this term, evil. Apathy and evil, the two work hand in hand. They are the same, really. Evil wills it. Apathy allows it. Evil hates the innocent and the defenseless most of all. Apathy doesn't care as long as it's not personally inconvenienced.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Not personally inconvenienced. And we mentioned that quite a bit last week of this triumph of evil really happens when we do nothing. So I find that apathy, that is a word that came to the forefront in my mind quite a bit of our discussion last week. And it seems like a really a good word to go into a little bit in this discussion, because we see the harm and really, evil sounds like such a strong word, but it is the case that we see so much of it in the world today because we're exposed to it. We're connected to the world in ways we never have been before, certainly with communications being what technology being what it is today, and to just be watching it, even I find you can there can be a harmful act happening right in front of you, and it's as if you're watching it on the TV, you know, that you will just walk by it and do nothing. So mm-hmm. I was thinking of apathy and looked up the definition. I wanted a very clear definition of it, and it said in the dictionary, a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. And then there was a quote, an apathetic individual has an absence of interest or interest in or concern about emotional, spiritual, philosophical, or physical life in the world. Wow, mm-hmm. sad, right?
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me is that apathy can be the result of a kind of laziness, you know, just not bothering. But it can also be the result of overstimulation. Right, you just get completely overburdened, and that I think is, on the one hand, we have the lazy lack of interest, but we have also all of this social media, all of this 24-hour news cycle, just bombarding us, as well as the caffeine you mentioned last week, Steve. To where we just shut down, right?
Yeah. And I think violence in movies and video games is such a big deal. You know, we mm-hmm. our brains have become programmed, you know, to process horror and violent acts as just happenstance, as getting mm-hmm. us a point, or even, you know, getting us a like on social media, which is where we, you know, remember that instance of three youths attacking another one and putting it on Facebook Live as a way to get likes or to you know, for people to respond. Mm-hmm. And when you see that, you realize, wow, you know, there's really a problem here. And that comes back to, as you said last week, we're going to always circle around to our moral compass. You know, what is mm-hmm. our value system? Because really, it's necessary for that to be. I remember watching that video of these three teens really torturing this young who was a handicapped boy. And on screen, and one person even primping their hair, like realizing, seeing themselves in their own screen and realizing that, oh, you know, I'm not going to look good for my viewers, while they're torturing someone. And you think, where is your heart? Where is your presence? Are you even human? And you realize that it is apathy in that it is not concerned for another human being. It is not even acknowledging that another human being really is in front of you and has feelings mm-hmm. and is experiencing this harm. So indeed, apathy and the result of media and social media and technology. Yeah, we mm-hmm. like you got to check in before and mm-hmm. and really realize what's going on in the world before we can really act. And our having our value system intact is so important.
What's interesting to me, Steve, is, you know, if we look at our physical body, if somebody handed us some food that had clearly gone off, it was rotten, right? It was going to make us ill. Or if they handed us something that had poison in it, you know, or something that we knew was physically bad for us, we wouldn't eat it, would we? We'd say no. But when it comes to things that we watch or things that we read, in other words, what we put into our mind, we don't exercise that same discrimination.
Yeah.
And I know I have some acquaintances that will laugh at me because I won't watch certain movies because there's violence in it. And there's no there's no redemption attached to that, right? And I won't read books that have gratuitous violence in it. I'll read, you know, like a murder mystery or something where there is an ethical dilemma that's being addressed, something like that, that is stimulating for me, that helps me think through some ethical issues for myself. Or, you know, I have other things that I read just for relaxation and pleasure. But I've become over the years careful about choosing what it is that I allow myself to ingest visually and mentally, because it affects us.
Yeah, I love that.
That's the way poison affects us.
Like moldy food or rotten food is going to turn your stomach. And you think about it, these films will often turn us. It's crazy. I have, Dorothy, in just this last year, three shows, which I just won't name, but three major shows that have won Emmys that are, you know, that studios have invested so much money in. I had to stop watching them because they were so dark and so naked. I even wrote a letter to Hulu. I even wrote a letter to one network just saying, you know, they asked me why I stopped my subscription. And I just said, this show was so dark and depressing that it was over the top. Like, it was affecting my life. Mm-hmm. And why would I want to subject myself to that? I appreciate the production, the quality, the stars, the acting. But why that subject matter? Why so dark? Is it necessary? Mm-hmm. And it appeals, as you said, to, in some ways, we've become addicted to that adrenaline. You know, we've become addicted to what it does to us, even without realizing that it is harmful, that it is harming us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Dorothy, I want to say that, you know, by choosing, say you're with a group of people and say, you know, let's watch Planet Earth by David Attenborough, and let's talk about how amazing watching these, you know, tree frogs. Let's marvel in tree frogs and laugh and get excited about their color and the diversity of the planet. Is that not, in a way, inclusive social action on some level?
Yes.
Indeed, to say, you know, and that's what it's bringing light to ways in which others may not realize that harm is happening, either to themselves or others. You know, you mentioned last week really stopping, saying no in an incident of domestic violence, which is quite clear. But I think there's also ways that we are harming one another or harming ourselves, and we don't realize it. And, you know, in a way, we've almost let our value system slip a little bit. You know, we're not honoring ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're not honoring another. And our both internal value system, our value system in realizing that if I am off, if I am, you know, not clear and productive and happy and joyful, I'm putting that out into the world. I would like to be a part of a system and of a greater group that has got positivity and not so much darkness. So making choices that, you know, is part of that as well for ourselves.
Well, and it brings us back to that first principle that we, you know, that we've talked about of interconnectivity, that recognizing that we are all energetically connected. So what I do, how I feel, the energy that I put out does affect the rest of the world, just as the energy that others put out will affect me. And I have to find ways, if we're talking about preparing ourselves, one of the pieces is how do we shield ourselves from the negative energy so that we preserve our ability to act in a compassionate way.
Yes, yes. Well, Dorothy, listen, let's go to a break, actually, because we have filled this entire segment. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. Start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. Move on and smile. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are going to continue our discussion on preparing ourselves for inclusive social action. And Dorothy, you know, one word that you have mentioned quite a bit in our time together here on Spirit Fire Radio is moral compass, values, dignity, this many words you've mentioned that all circle around to this concept. I wonder just say if you could say a few words about that, like about dignity itself, because I find that that's really important to have dignity, to recognize where there is indignity happening as a way to realize when social action is necessary and for ourselves to be prepared. You know, we've got to have a sense of dignity, correct?
Yes, and I'd like to anchor this part of our discussion in, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, because that contains a declaration of shared values, or the aspirational shared values, I should probably say, and that is that everyone has inherent dignity and is entitled to universal respect and equality in terms of rights. And so when we talk about dignity, we're talking about valuing and honoring and respecting somebody else, whether we agree with them or not. It's not about agreement. It's about recognizing them as a unique soul, you know, as a unique human being with their own purpose here. And as long as they're not intentionally being harmful to others, you know, that they are making the best choices that they know to make in their life as they move along, and valuing them and honoring them. And it's really interesting to me to watch how different people, like I've been in a situation where I was one of the first business leaders appointed by the Canadian Prime Minister to represent Canada in an international forum. And in that context, I got, you know, a lot of deference. I got to watch the way deference plays out. But the thing is, I wasn't any different really than all of the other people in the room, the people that were serving us meals, the people that were driving us to and from meetings. Everybody was deserving of dignity and respect. And I heard a news item, I think it was last week, they were talking about Elizabeth Warren campaigning or beginning her campaign, and how when she would approach a venue, and it was a venue where there was an overflow crowd, she would first stop and talk with the people who had not been able to get in, and you know, say that she was sorry that they couldn't. She'd give a little short talk, take selfies with people, whatever it was, but recognize them, you know, accord them respect before then going on into the people who had the, quote, status to be in the inside room. I thought that was really interesting and revealing.
That's a really good example, because what came out of that, I enjoyed every one of your words, was, you know, this idea of valuing another human being. And mm-hmm. you know, she was valuing everybody. You value everybody and what the part they play in this expression that is humanity. And that's such a great example to sort of honor these people and show them that they are a value before you go in. And that's dignified, you know, to mm-hmm. feel that you have acted in a dignified manner, which is a part of inclusive social action. You know, it's when an action is undignified, when it is reactive, or as we've talked about, fighting fire with fire or evil with evil, you know, that is when it becomes undignified. You're not honoring the other human being, even though you see mm-hmm. that they have perhaps done wrong in the process. That honoring them, you can still say, no, this is wrong. This has got to stop. I see mm-hmm. the evil intent behind your actions, and it will stop here. That is actually still honoring them as a human being, but not their actions. So very important part in
absolutely. And one of the challenges that I would put out to our audience is, if you haven't done this before, is to pick a day and go through the day, notice every single person who's in your orbit, whether you interact with them directly or not, what they are doing and how what they are doing makes your life possible. That's part of practicing dignity, right? Is that every single person, you know, the person who's putting my groceries in my bag, the person who's helping me at the gas pump, the person who is, you know, you can go on and on and on. Each of these positions in life, each of these jobs is critical to our all being able to live a comfortable life, to live together. And none of these there's a certain way in which none of these is more important than the other. I may do work that gets highly recognized, that may be well compensated. I couldn't do it without the support from all of those other people.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, you know, in talking about ways we can prepare ourselves for inclusive social action, is that we've got to become accustomed to ways in which we act dignified, you know, ways in which we can generate a dignity within ourselves and recognize when other people are not offered that. And so by practicing honoring everyone around you, you're actually building that, you know, moral compass. You're building moral strength, and you're actually mm-hmm. You're actually practicing or acknowledging this concept that we are all interconnected. You're making it a part of your everyday life, and in doing so, I believe, you know, you're then preparing yourself for these instances of rising to an occasion where you would like to act in a way that is dignified, that honors everybody. So you've got, it's like practicing it, you know, in a way.
That's right. And the when we talk about preparation, if we don't have a clear sense of our own values, if we don't continually act in ways that reinforce those values, we're going to find it very difficult to assess what's going on around us and when we need to be taking social action. I think it's so critical that we remember that we actually affect our value structure, our moral compass, all through the day based on the choices that we make. If we choose to ignore that, to be kind of lazy about how we behave towards others, if we allow ourselves to participate in these kind of microaggressions, you know, small dismissive actions, we are literally undermining our moral compass. And so it's not a trivial matter. We need to always be alert, especially in today's environment, to strengthening that sense of what is the common good, not what my particular self-interest is, but what is the common good? What is it that will make life work for all of us, including non-humans, but all of us?
Yeah, and it just can be as simple as asking yourself, you know, and looking at yourself and asking, you know, did I criticize somebody today? Did I gossip today? Did I judge someone or dismiss someone today? And I guarantee most of us, if we really go through that with a fine-tooth comb, we'll realize that, you know, perhaps I shouldn't have made that comment. And not to then get down on yourself, but say, you know, perhaps I could have handled that this way, or I could have said that this way, so that the next time it happens, you'll pause before you do that, and you'll say, what are some options? What are some other ways I could talk with this person? I'm used to meditators here at the retreat center. We've got a group of college students who are doing some very important work, but they're young and they're college students and they stay up late. And I was needing sleep one evening while they were having a lot of fun and staying up longer. And I had to really stop myself because I could tell I was ready to say, "Would you all just go to bed and keep it down?" And, you know, it was about honoring, you know, their schedule and honoring who they are and what point they are at their life, and that being together and sharing their stories was really important to them. And it was their first or second night here, so it was an opportunity for them to come together and do that. And I should just calm down and I'll catch up on my sleep, but I had to catch myself. So it can be, you know, really acting in a dignified way, respecting yourself and respecting others. It's small things or big things. So it all helps prepare us, you know, for when they are big things, right?
Well, and I think part of what you were referring to that I think we'll also come back to probably different times during the month is the need to be self-reflective.
Yes.
Without the judgment that, you know, kind of, you know, makes you think, oh my God, how could I possibly? Because when you get into that kind of thing, you almost paralyze yourself from being able to act in the future. It's more the matter of, okay, let me review what I've done. How do I feel about, you know, how that went? Is there a way I'd like to do it differently next time? Or is that something that I want to repeat? But that kind of mindfulness, that kind of self-reflection is absolutely critical in both reinforcing the moral compass and preparing ourselves for being able to take action.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully well said. Dorothy, we're going to go to our break. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change, that you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Hello, listeners. Dorothy and I always like to take a moment to talk about our organizations. Spirit Fire Radio is a collaboration between two organizations, the School for Esoteric Studies and Spirit Fire. And I know both Dorothy and I are so pleased with all that we have created and are very thankful for our organizations in being there to support this project as well. So, Dorothy, a bit about the School for Esoteric Studies.
Thanks, Steve. Yes, the School for Esoteric Studies is an educational nonprofit that provides training for people with a spiritual practice that would like to deepen that practice. You can find out more about the training that we offer at esotericstudies.net. And in addition to that, we also have group initiatives. Our intentional collaboration with other like-minded organizations is an important part of that. And Spirit Fire Radio is one of the collaborations that we are particularly thankful for. We have another initiative ongoing right now, which is a series of papers on the topic of this month, which is inclusive social action. So if you go to esotericstudies.net, you'll see that there is a menu item called Inclusive Social Action, where you'll find not only the white papers that we are issuing, but also other material on the topic that you may find of interest. We have already circulated the first paper on inclusive social action, and we've gotten responses from organizations in a number of countries, which is very exciting, wanting to work together on further developing this particular way of being in the world. So we would look forward to hearing from you as well. Again, esotericstudies.net.
Dorothy, I appreciate the way that it is a way of being in the world. I'm going to write that down. You know, because I'm going to say a bit about Spirit Fire, but that's so wonderful. You know, you were spending this whole month talking about inclusive social action and realizing that it is a huge topic, that it is really daring. You know, it's bold, and it is shifting a paradigm of a way of being in the world that has so much to do with observing it, but also participating in creating the world, you know, that we would like to live in, that is without so much harm. So I really like that aspect of what you just said. So back to Spirit Fire. Spiritfire is an educational nonprofit as well. Our mission is to educate people on the importance of spirituality and to find ways for them to bring consciousness and awareness into their everyday lives. One way in which we do that is through our own meditation training called the Practice of Living Awareness. It's a wonderful online practice. It's equal parts mindfulness and equal parts insight, those two meditation practices married. And it's free online. We do meditation retreats as well at our meditation center in Leiden, Massachusetts, which is in the Berkshires. So check us out and see more about our practice at spiritfire.com and meditate with us online and join us in the snowy mountains of Western Massachusetts. So Dorothy, a couple stories I just wanted to share. One that comes to mind and has been coming to mind quite a bit as I've been pondering inclusive social action, which is, you know, we've got to familiarize ourselves with others' situations and others we've got to know who they are and the ways in which they move in the world and ways in which they may be harmed in small and large ways. It makes me think of a friend of mine, one of my very best friends, John, who was always sort of late when we were together as groups. And a lot of us would always rag on him, you know, John, why are you always so late? He would never really say anything. And there was one time when I said something about getting a cab, and he finally said to me, Steve, you don't understand. I can't get a cab very easily in New York City. I'm black. And I thought, what are you talking about, John? And I was foolish. I was so naive. I mean, I lived in New York City my whole life, and basically I didn't realize, and I've got lots of black friends, just had no idea that if you are standing by yourself and you are black and you raise your hand for a cab, the majority of cabs will go past you because they will assume that you're going to either, one, if you're in Manhattan, go to the outer boroughs and they don't want to make the trip back, or that you aren't going to tip them, or even worse, that you are going to harm them. This horrible, you know, labeling. And I had no idea. And he said, Steve, watch this. You go down the street and lift your hand for a cab, and I'm going to be up here where the light changes, and I'm going to have my hand up here for a cab. Every single cab is going to go past me and go to you. You know why? Because you're white and because I'm black. And I said, John, that's ridiculous. He did it, and sure enough, a cab went right by, and we both stepped away and said, oh, never mind, I don't need the cab. We did it a number of times, and I kid you not, every single time the cab – and you can see they looked at him, went right by him, and went to me. Goodness gracious. I actually had no idea. And it was really moving, and it was really informative, and it was really necessary for me to actually see that. But it was necessary for John to tell me that, you know, for me to know his experience, and then for me to experience his experience by watching it, not actually experiencing it because I would have gotten the cab. But you know what I'm saying. So it's really important that we, you know, put ourselves out there in the world and we get to know other people's experiences. And, you know, that happened firsthand. And then to take that back and say, what could I do? You know, what would be the inclusive social action here? And it would basically be to stop the cab and say, sir, you know, this gentleman up here is waiting for a cab. I'm going to call him down and, you know, I'm going to give that cab to him and I'll get the next one. Because John is an amazing tipper. He tips everybody. He's an amazing human being. He's funny and charming, and he tips beautifully. And perhaps that then would allow that person to see that, oh, you know, I shouldn't judge. I just got a great tip. This guy's great. And I'm not going to the outer boroughs, you know, whatever. You know, but that was a very important scenario for me, which reminds me of ways in which we may not – we might be ignorant, you know, to somebody's situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's that whole issue of walking a mile in the other person's shoes.
It's right? So important, Dorothy, right?
Feeling our way into the experience of those that are being harmed.
And that is mm-hmm. where compassion and empathy arise. You know, I had a new level of compassion and you know, my empathy for John and being a black man in America really deepened. There was a deepened understanding, mm-hmm. a deepened connection. And I felt moved, you know, and I feel moved every day. That stuck with me forever. Like, wow, Steve, you know, just become more aware. become more aware. Mm-hmm. And watch when you judge someone, don't just say, John, you're always late. Say, John, what happened? You know, you're mm-hmm. always, so what happened in this situation? Is there any, you know, anything you'd like to share? I don't know. Just be a bit more open. But Dorothy, there was one other situation I mentioned last week. I was going to talk about something that happened at Thanksgiving. And it's a bit about preparing ourselves, you know, and I respect the work we do on the show so much because, you know, through all these conversations, it helps prepare me for inclusive social action just by really, you know, it's that idea of study and service and contemplation. It just helps. It helps us stay aligned and attuned. I was at Thanksgiving and my dad, in the middle of the dinner, started singing this really lewd song, and it had to do with it was sexist, and it was had to do with people being overweight, and I could see that it was a generational thing, and I know my dad well. My dad is not crude, and he's not disrespectful to anyone. He's got a huge heart, and I kind of felt he didn't realize or see how he thought that the rhymes in the song were funny. He thought that it was kind of clever that he had remembered this old school song that he was bringing up at the table, but it was really offensive and out and out wrong. And I got really upset and sort of offended, like, Dad, you know, my nephew's here, he's 15. Actually he's a bit older than that, but why are you singing that? That's awful. And I've got friends who struggle with weight issues, and it's just terrible what's behind this. And I tend to be a bit reactive sometimes. And I paused and I thought, what do I do in this situation? My dad's having a lot of fun. Everyone's laughing with my dad because he's laughing. And they're sort of marveling that he remembers this whole thing and that he's sort of entertaining us with it. And for me to point this out, is it going to dampen the mood? Am I going to be isolating? You know, am I going to make my dad feel bad? I don't want to do that. We're all having a really good time. And I had to, in this time frame, had to figure out, what do I do? Because I really don't want to let this slide. I feel that it's, you know, I want to do it in a way that is inclusive. Although that word didn't come, but that was my intention. So I finally said, when it was over, I said, gosh, Dad, it's good we're all guys here, because, you know, if there was a woman at the table, I have a feeling that just for a woman, you know, that would be really hard here. And it's obvious that is, you know, I said something about it being really old school, and I can imagine that back then there would be a table of both men and women, and somehow that would be okay. And I did it in a way that it worked, that it was sort of saying, well, in this day and age, you know, that's really old school and should remain that way. I'm glad we've evolved, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think he got it, but it just shows that it can be difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. How do we do it, you know, without? Yeah.
So I think one of the issues is, you know, what is your intention as you act?
Yeah.
And one of the challenging things, I think, in this particular arena, when we're talking about saying, no, this is not okay, because there's other kinds of actions that people take, but we're talking about this. In my experience, the goal of changing the mind of the person whose behavior you're saying no to, you can't necessarily expect that to happen.
Exactly.
We don't control how somebody else behaves. All we can say is, this doesn't work for me. This is not acceptable as far as I'm concerned. So it's interesting to me the way you were describing that, because you were saying you didn't want your dad to feel uncomfortable, you know. A question I would have in my mind is, was there anybody else around the table in addition to you that might have been feeling a bit uncomfortable by what was being sung? I think it's a matter of being willing to say in some way, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I don't love
this
that
song.
This
is not okay. This is, I'm sorry?
Yeah, I don't love that song.
Yeah. Or I'm puzzled why this would be a funny song.
And make it a discussion about it.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not, and I think this gets back to a point that we've talked about before in this show, is it's about the behavior, it's not about the person.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So it's not that there's something wrong with your dad because he's singing the song. Is that the lyrics of the song are really harmful.
Yeah.
You know, they're not funny. And other people might not know how to say that, which may be part of why they're laughing. You don't know. I mean, maybe they do find it funny. But being able to voice that position that, actually, I don't find this funny.
And that
maybe I'm, you know, out of fashion. You know, I mean, you can say there are ways of saying it like that, but being willing to not just go along,
and
I think it's an excellent example.
Well, yeah, and in one day and age, perhaps not only would this have been acceptable, but no one would have said anything. But in today's, in today's world, we've come to realize that it's quite harmful. And
but it's a realization. It was never acceptable.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
What I would say.
Yeah,
it was always harmful to people.
Tolerated.
It's just that it was tolerated before.
Yeah,
and we're trying to change that.
Yes.
That it's not tolerated anymore.
Wise words. I appreciate the wisdom. So, Dorothy, we're at another break. Believe it or not.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back, listeners.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you. Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough. Separate from source, you're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. We are continuing our discussion today and all month on inclusive social action. And today's show talking about preparing ourselves for inclusive social action. Dorothy, I really appreciated the last segment and just talking about needing to really expand our dialogue, but also expand, you've mentioned in the past, expanding our circle of care. You know, that mm-hmm. even expanding our circle of care is expanding it to the people who are even the perpetrators, you know, as well. Like mm-hmm. we were just talking about that with, in terms of a Thanksgiving story of my dad and my friend John, and expanding, you know, our knowledge of those that are being harmed and bringing that to the forefront of our awareness. That's such an important aspect of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what we were talking about just before the break illustrates the issue of the damage that tolerance can do. You know, tolerance is not a neutral dynamic. That, you know, as we become more aware of the ramifications of harm, that it's important to speak out in some kind of way. And I just want to be really clear with our audience. There's no one right way to do this. It's a matter of, and that's why we're talking about preparedness. It's a matter of shifting a well-entrenched paradigm. Shifting the way that we are in the world. And that takes time. It takes baby steps. It takes experimentation.
Practice.
And so.
And more practice.
That's right. And then reflecting on what we've done and what worked and what didn't work. And part of, you know, you were talking about being an example to others, Steve. One of the things that's so critical is that we show each other what works or what doesn't work, for that matter. I know myself, in terms of the story that I gave earlier about saying, no, you will not harm me, I did that because I had the opportunity to meet and listen to Peace Pilgrim, who, you know, was absolutely committed to nonviolence and, you know, was and literally walked across the United States for peace. And she gave examples from her own life. She said she had three trials where people were wanting to harm her. And the challenge for her was, would she respond in a violent way or would she respond in a compassionate way? And, you know, listening to those stories, watching other people that are able to do this, that's how we learn a new way of being in the world. And so we're each important to each other from that perspective.
Yes, allows us to honor mm-hmm. every, it's like facets of the diamond. We are all facets. And as you said, walking a mile in other's shoes, so important, so important. Mm-hmm.
And you referenced the circle of care. I'd like to just talk a moment about that. This concept for me, what it means is, you know, my most reflexive circle of care are the people immediately around me. I don't mean necessarily physically, but emotionally around me, people that I feel strongly connected to, that I love, that I actively care for. And so those are people who I get to know well enough to know that they are multifaceted. They, you know, there are things that they do that I wish they didn't do. And there are many things that I admire as well. But I get to know that complexity so that when I'm interacting with them, I'm interacting with them as a person, not just as somebody that did a particular action. And then if we move out from there, then we have strangers that are people that we don't know anything negative about. You know, we make neutral or even positive assumptions about them, and so we're willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. Then we get into the more challenging areas, for me at least. We get into the acquaintances that we are offended by, you know, people that we know and that we dislike, or we may fear them, or we may even hate them. And so these are emotions to examine, because these are, I heard Brian Schwimm speak once, the mathematical cosmologist, and he said we need to think of the rest of the world, and he was referring also to non-humans and to the Earth, as relatives. And so if I think of these people as cousins that I may not know very well, but I need to look out for, I need to get to know, or even as family members, then I start to have a different attitude towards them. I start to see them again as a multifaceted rather than a single-faceted person. And so then we go to the strangers, you know, who we dislike without even knowing why, usually because of prejudice, and we have an opportunity then to examine that. Then we get to non-human persons, which we've talked about a bit on this show. So giving ourselves the chance to stretch that muscle of who we include in the people that we care about, the people that we will see as multifaceted, who we will want to understand why they're doing something rather than just judging them. Like you gave the example of John. So why was he late? You know, instead of, oh, you're just late.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate that it's a circle of care. So it's not only getting to know the complexity of someone, but actually caring for them. And we've mentioned this idea of tough love. And that's where this whole conversation for me about inclusive social action becomes so intricate and complex, is that we are also including those that we are standing up, you know, against, is so to speak, you know, that one could see it as caring in a way to stop the harm that they are doing, because they are an individual who has gone wrong, and we need to stop that. So, you know, it's that even when you mention, you know, offending, you know, people we fear, or we dislike, or people who do wrong or have done wrong, that it's actually expanding that circle of care. And care doesn't mean support, can mean stopping the harm that they're doing, because, you know, mm-hmm. that is creating basically a horrible life for other people, but creating a horrible life, or stems from a horrible life of their own. And so that circle of care is an important word, in that we're all included in this, that term inclusivity is so important.
Yeah.
Dorothy, of the show, a wrap up quick.
Yes, and that is remembering that when we say no, we are actually helping the other party, because they're not doing themselves any good when they are harming others.
Yeah. Wonderful conversation, Dorothy. So, listeners, we're going to continue this conversation for the second half of the month of January. We're so pleased you're with us. And Dorothy, thank you as always. And listeners, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.